Let's give God a round of applause. Amen. Praise the Lord. Merry Christmas to y'all. Is there a better place to be on Christmas than to be in a Christian church? After all, Christmas is a Christian holiday. After all, Christmas is not about the commercialism, but about the celebration of our dear Savior's birth, who is Christ the Lord. And here at our church, we love Christmas. I don't know about you, here at our church, we love Christmas. So all month long, we've been talking about Christmas in a sermon series called The Best Christmas Ever, in His Presence, Even Without Presents. See, the gist or the point of this series is simple. Only being in the presence of God, we can truly have the best Christmas ever. In other words, it's not about the things, it's about the King of Kings. It's not about the gifts, it's about God. It's not about the presence, it's about being in His presence. But nevertheless, since Christmas time is a time that we give gifts, we do that because God had set the example of being a giving God when it comes to gifts. Did you know that God has given us His greatest gift? The Bible calls Him the indescribable gift. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." And certainly Jesus was the indescribable gift. Here in our series, we learned that here in the last few weeks. Imagine the wise men, or the magi, or traditionally known as the three kings, they searched for the King Jesus fervently. Joseph obeyed the King Jesus instantly. Mary pondered on the King Jesus repeatedly. But not only that, the angels proclaimed about the King Jesus gloriously. The shepherds announced His praises loudly. But not only that, King Herod himself feared King Jesus unnecessarily. And the religious leaders during Herod's time read the scriptures about Jesus confidently. Certainly, Jesus is God's indescribable gift. Someone once said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need is forgiveness. Therefore, God sent us a Savior. God gave us His greatest gift, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So God has been giving us this greatest gift. What can we give to the King? What can we give to the King? Remember, when we are in the presence of God, we can truly have the best Christmas ever, even without presents. So therefore, one of the ways that we can be in the presence of God is when we give to the King. What can we give to the King? What can we give to the King as a way of us honoring Him, showing our gratitude and appreciation to Him? What can we give to the King? See, we're not going to give to the King unless we understand the reason behind the gift. We are not going to give to the King unless we understand why God sent His greatest gift. And what is the reason behind the gift? Well, let's find out as we turn our Bible to John 3:16. Debron quoted that verse during their skit earlier, but turn to John 3:16. John 3:16. And in honor and reverence of the reading of the Word of God, let's all stand up. John 3:16, one single verse today that we're going to read. And it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." You may be seated. John 3:16 is the best known verse in the Bible. We see John 3:16 at football games or other sporting events. We see that in a banner in between goalposts, don't we? We see John 3:16 on banners or placards during protests.
John 3:16 is perhaps the most well-known verse in all of the Bible. Great men and women of old have called this verse different ways. For instance, they call it the gospel in superlatives, or the little gospel, or the Mount Everest of the Holy Scriptures, or the gospel in a nutshell. But we can add something to it as Christians here at Cap Rock Church celebrating Christmas. We can say that John 3:16 is what Christmas is all about. God sent His Son to save the world. So therefore, the reason behind us receiving the greatest gift, the reason behind God has sent His Son is because of what? Of love. And unless we understand God's love, hear me out. Unless we understand God's love, we're not going to give to the King. Unless we understand God's love, we're not going to give to the King. And so therefore, we have to understand what God's love is. What is God's love? We'll go back to John 3:16. Here we see the four aspects of God's love. The first one is God's love is universal. Look at that verse again. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Now let's focus on the love first. That word love came from the original language of the New Testament, and that is the word agape. You probably heard of that word agape. Now, agape is spiritual love or unconditional love, or it is the love that desires to give. That's why I truly believe that God is the only one who can love this much. Why? Because this love that desires to give is not dependent or based on the worthiness of the object of being loved or the object of the one who is being loved. In other words, God's love is agape. It's a giving love. Why? Because it's not dependent on the value of the person. No matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done in life, God still loves you. That's why I truly believe only God can love like that, because we are humans. We tend to love with an eros love or a philos love. No, those are other Greek words. Eros means love that desires only to take. Do you know people who are like that? They are takers but not givers. You know what I'm talking about? For instance, they would say, oh, I love Mexican food, but if we're not going to a Mexican restaurant, then I'm not going. Or I love the Dallas Cowboys as long as they're winning. Oh, I love watching movies as long as you are paying. That's an example of an eros love. Or there's another one that is philos, where we get the root word of Philadelphia. Philos meaning love, Delphia meaning brother. So therefore, Philadelphia means a city of brotherly love. But philos is the love that desires to give and take. In other words, that's the kind of love that people would say, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. If you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. If you give me a present, I'll give you a present. You know what I'm talking about? That's why I truly believe God is the only one who could love with the agape kind of love, because look at what it says. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. So God, agape. That means God loved us regardless of who we are, regardless of who the person is. It is not based on the worth of the person. Why? Because God's love is always giving. Hear me out. God's love is always giving, expecting nothing in return. The agape kind of love. But people tend to believe that God's love is minute. Or people tend to believe that they can be like God in terms of that kind of love. But we can't. Only God could do that. But notice here, for God so loved the world. So this agape love, the love that is giving, not expecting anything in return, not based on the value of the person or the worth of the person, who is the object of that love? Who was that love directed to? Look at that verse. For God so loved the world. The word there is cosmos, which literally means whole human race. That means God loved all people, everyone, universally, globally, worldwide, regardless of who the person is. God loves not just some, not just Christians. God loved all people. That's why I truly believe God is the only one who could love like that. Why? Don't we hear people say, oh, I love all people? Right? We hear that all the time. Oh, I love all people. Well, if you love all people, let me test you. Do you love the ISIS terrorists? No, why? Because they do bad things. So you cannot really say, I love all people, but God loves all those terrorists. You cannot say that I love all people. If you love all people, let's confine it to our church. How about that? If you love all the people here at the church, then you won't miss a single service because it would not be bearable on your part not to see us. Isn't it? So therefore, only God could love all people. But people would always say that, oh, I love all people. But of course, they say that loosely or flippantly or insincerely. But God's love is universal, not based on anything. Retired Pastor Jerry Vines once said, God's love is not conditioned by the worthiness of its object. Oh, I love this quote from a great evangelist, Jesse Hendley. He said, only God could love a human being. Why? Because God's love is agape. It's a giving love. But not only that, look at that verse again. God's love is also generous. Generous. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Isn't that so generous of God? Can you imagine that? He gave his one and only son. Now think about it. Now how come God did not just send one of the angels like Clarence? Wait a second. That's from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. I'm talking about others. For instance, let's talk about one of the archangels like Gabriel or Michael. Why did not God just send one of the heavenly beings, like one of those cherubims and seraphims that the Bible talks about? And yet he did not do that. He sent his one and only son. Why? Because his love is generous. 1 John 3:1, it says this, how great is the love of the Father has lavished on us. Let me say that again. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished. What's that supposed to mean? Liberal, generous, greatly bestowed on us. And look at Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. He did not spare his own son. Why? Because God's love is generous, generous. It's liberal. I love this poem that I read from a book called Whosoever Will. And it's talking about God's generous love. Now listen to this poem. The angels must have cried, don't go down there, Jesus. They will misunderstand and mistreat you. But down he came. As he passed by Jupiter, it said, don't go down there, Jesus. They will slap you and beat you. But down, down he came. As he passed by the sun cried out, don't go down there, Jesus. They will thrust a spear in your side, crush a crown of thorns on your head, and drive nails into your hands. But down, down, down he came, all the way from the glory place to the gory place, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. Only his great generous love made our Savior go. You imagine that, to be born in this godless world, to be born in a lowly, stinky manger, to grow up in a poor family, and then to be refused by men, rejected by men, and be crucified on that cross, and yet God still sent his son. Why? Because his love is generous. Third, God's love is personal. Go back to the same verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, there it is, that whoever believes in him. Now notice that verse. The verse started with God being the subject of the verse, didn't it? It is God who loved. It was also God who gave. But the second part of that verse, suddenly there is a change. There is a shift. Instead of God being the subject, now, who's the subject? We are. We are. Because it says, whoever believes in him. That word whoever or whosoever literally means every or any. That means God's love is personal because it is for anyone, anywhere, anytime, if they choose to believe in Him. God's love is personal. God's love is at the personal level. God's love is individual, not just universal, if we choose to believe in Him. We have to understand that that word believe, whoever believes in Him, that word believe doesn't mean just, oh, I believe. For instance, if I say, I believe that you are existing, why? I'm seeing you. Of course. But this word believe literally means to surrender. This word says whoever believes in Him, it means whoever bows down to Him, honor Him, and make Him their Lord and Savior is the one that Jesus Himself would show personal love. In other words, because it says there, whoever believes in Him at a personal level, that means even if you were the only one who was born, God would have still sent His Son to die for you. He would still have sent the Lord Jesus on Christmas Day. I love what St. Augustine once said. God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. Don't you just love that? God loves each one of us as if there was only one of us to love. But what's the difference then between the universal, God loves all people, and yet God also loves individually, personal? Well, I could explain that by telling you an illustration. When I was working at the rehab hospital as a therapist, we have this therapy session that we call group therapy. Now, in group therapy, all of my patients on that particular day will be in one exercise group. So if I ask them to do one thing or exercise, then all of them would do it. For instance, just for the sake of demonstration and being interactive and to keep you awake, let's pretend that this is a group therapy session, okay? So in other words, if I ask you all, raise your right hands, then we all do it. One, two, three. Let's all clap our hands. And let's all march in place, seated march. That's an example of a group therapy session. Yeah. But during one point on that day, at one point during the day, I would personally spend time with each one of them so I could meet their specific and individual therapy need. Are you following me here? Yeah. Same thing. God loves all people. That's why He provides us with all the things that we need. For instance, don't we all need a basic life support? We all need oxygen. We all need the atmosphere to protect us from sun's radiation. We all need for God to hold the earth so it would stay in its orbit, so it would not fall out, or else we all die. That's right. But at the same time, God's love is personal to those who choose to believe in Him. Why? He meets you at the point of your need. When you are in a financial crisis, He's there. When you are in a health issue, He's there. When you are struggling with losing your hope and peace, He's there. Why? Because His love is personal. He meets you at the point of your need if you choose to trust Him. And then fourthly, God's love is everlasting. God's love is everlasting. In other words, God's love is eternal. God's love is forever. Go back to that verse, John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God wants to give us and can give us eternal life. Why? Because He is an eternal God. But do you know what's the motivation behind His eternal life, which is Him being eternal? He gives it to us. What? What's the motivation? It is His eternal love. That's right. It is His forever love. God's love is forever. It is unending. That means God loved you even before there was time. God loved you even before the sun, the moon, and the stars were created. Before anyone existed, God loved you. And if there's one thing you would take home from this message, this Christmas message, I hope this would be it. There was never a time and will never be a time that God would stop loving you. There was never a time, and there will never be a time that God will stop loving you. Why? Because God's love is forever. God's love is eternal. Can you imagine? God is emphasizing that His love is eternal. He devoted one entire chapter in the Bible, Psalm 136, an entire chapter in the Bible talking about one thing. What's that? Love, or God's love is forever. God's love is everlasting. That means God so loved us so much, He loved us forever. He doesn't want us to what? To perish. Look at what it says there. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That word perish, hear me out. That word perish encapsulates all of hell. That word perish, that single word perish, pertains to all of hell. That's what hell is. Because this word perish literally means to put away entirely, to vanish, to vanquish, to be sent to an eternal oblivion and misery. That is hell. God doesn't want anyone to go there. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. Why? Because His love is eternal. I love you. So that says that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loved you so much from the beginning of time, even before time. Why? Because His love is eternal. Even when people refused Him, even when people deny Him, even when people hate Him, even when people hurl insults at Him, God still says one thing. I still love you. I love you forever. I love you forever. There was a story that I read about this orphan child. This orphan child was a classic, troublesome, and difficult child. So the workers at the orphanage could not wait for the child to move to another orphanage. On the day that the boy was about to move to another orphanage, the workers saw him stealing papers. And then he climbed up a tree, and he deposited that paper in one of the branches on the tree. Now, after he moved, the workers immediately went to the tree. And they noticed that the paper was actually a note. A note from the troubled child. And it reads, "If anyone finds this, I love you." Amen. To anyone that hates God, to anyone that doesn't like Him, to anyone that resists Him, to anyone that rejects Him, to anyone who is repelled of the Lord Jesus Christ, He has a note for us. And it's John 3:16. And it says, "If you find this, I love you forever." I love you forever. God doesn't want anyone to perish because His love is everlasting. God's love is the reason behind the gift. God's love is the reason behind the greatest gift, the indescribable gift. And unless we understand that it is God's love, that's why He sent His Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, then we're not going to give to the King. But now we have a good understanding of God's love. So the question goes back to, what shall I give to the King? What shall I give to the King who has given me His indescribable gift? Only one thing, your heart. See, God, through Christ, did not come here on earth to establish an earthly kingdom. He came to establish a spiritual kingdom. Why? So He will reign in the hearts of men and women. So the question today is this. Now that you have understanding of God's love, would you give Him your heart? Is Jesus the King of your heart? Remember one thing, though. To give Him your heart means I'm going to believe, surrender, and bow before Him. Believing that Him and Him alone, by faith, is the one who can only or truly save me. He's just saying, "Pastor, I do. I want to give my heart to Him. What shall I do? What shall I do?" Well, first, you must repent of your sins. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And second, receive Jesus in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, believing He is the only one that can save you. Would you give your heart to the King today? Now is the acceptable time. Now is the appointed time. Why? Because once you have received Christ into your life and that you have given Him your heart, then He will be with you and He will be present with you. And His promise is this. He's going to give you a whole new life. He's going to change your life. But not only that, He's going to make sure you'll have the best Christmas ever. Why? Because you will be in His presence. Would you receive Jesus into your heart? Would you give Him your heart?